Debbie Pyle, would you like to go get the communion stuff, please, sweetie? And I don't know if you need helpers. Yes, perfect. Okay. Well, this is going to be really short, girls. Turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 35 through 39. All this brings to mind a story, and because, again, I love history, about the birthing of our nation. Shortly after the Revolutionary War came the a tremendous and amazing task of putting together and compiling and formatting the Constitution. And here are all these men with the 13 colonies, and they're fighting over, because, of course, little prideful people will always want their agenda first above the other. And for 3 months, they had, what's the matter? I don't have a big enough voice, mouth. They say they can hear me far away. Thank you, Andy. Andy, you're so cute. For 3 months, they wrangled over this thing, till finally Benjamin Franklin, who the secularists will say was the least, or well, he and Thomas Jefferson, they were just deists. They believed that there was a spiritual being, but they really didn't believe, well, that is a bunch of baloney, because he was a very godly man. Maybe not as godly as George Washington, but there was a basis and a foundation of faith. And he stood up in the middle of this, because men think women are bad? Ooh. He stood up and he said, basically, have we forgotten the fact that we have neglected to call upon providence to help us decide what we need to do? We called upon him when we wrote the Declaration of Independence, and now we're trying to do what on our own without him. Basically, the same thing with Galatians. You know, are you so foolish to think that what you started out in the spirit, now you're going to finish it in the flesh? Basically, in a synopsis, that's what Benjamin Franklin said. So he encouraged the people. He said, let us come away from this place and go across the street in Philadelphia. For anyone that has ever been there, probably has toured that area. I would love to. My dream is to tour all the national. If I could stop at every historical marker in the United States, I would do. It doesn't matter if it's in the middle of nowhere. I love that kind of stuff. To go and to visit that, perhaps some of you have already done that. But let's go across the street and let's spend time praying and fasting, being still before the Lord. They did that for 3 days, and in 3 weeks, girls, they had the Constitution. Now, to me, it really denotes the point of intimacy. And that's what God wants for you and for him, a place of intimacy. But it begins foundationally with his love for us. This is where it all pivots, not from, but it pivots around his love for us. And I cannot think of a greater set of verses, although there are many, but this is what the Lord had given me for my study, which it wasn't for today, so we'll do it another time. But in chapter 8, starting with verse 35, it says, who shall ever separate us from Christ's love? Shall suffering and affliction and tribulation, or calamity and distress, or persecution or hunger, or destitution or peril or sword? Even as it is written, for thy sake we are put to death all the day long. We are regarded and counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet amid all these things, we are more than conquerors and gain a surpassing victory through him who loved us. For I am persuaded, and we need to write these down. I think Tammy encouraged us yesterday to get our little index cards, our little verse cards, and write this down. We need to remember this, especially when the enemy is hitting us with a lie that God really doesn't love you. That is such a lie straight from the pit of hell. For I am persuaded beyond all doubt, I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things impending and threatening, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other thing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing, nothing, nothing will ever be able to separate us from that love. Girls, can you know that today? That is your truth. When you walk out this door, out this building, God is wanting you to know nothing will ever tear my love away from you. I don't care if you are the biggest sinner. He still loves you. What he wants for you to do is to come and to ask, God, forgive me. I want to do it right. I want to do what you have purposed for me to do, and that is a place of surrender. I want to learn to be still. I want to learn to rest. I want to know what it is to have an intimate relationship with you, because I don't want to walk through this life feeling like I'm tripping or I'm stumbling or I'm limping. I want to run, Lord. I want to run with you. And Father, you promise that your love for me will continue to compel me forward. And God, I want that. I want that. And ladies, that is what he is handing you today. It is as if he is going to each one of you and saying, will you believe me for my love for you? Will you believe me for my love for you? I have great things that we can do together. Do not deny me this ability. Do not shortchange yourself. And that was my cry this morning. I think I prayed with someone. Lord, we don't want to shortchange you, but girls, I don't want you to shortchange him, because there is such an amazing plan. And that plan happened at the cross. And that plan was fulfilled when you knelt before him and surrendered your life and said, Lord, I believe that you are. It was so sweet this morning. Pete gave me a cup of coffee and he goes, honey, I didn't pick it. I have about 8 cups that have scripture verses on them. And he handed it to me and it said, be still, I am God. And I went, okay, all my fears, because believe me, I'm shaking in my boots too. All these things that God requires of us really are to deal with our insecurities and those things that would cause us to run the other way, but to lean upon him and to trust him that, Lord, there's nothing good that I can do. It's all you. It's all you, Lord. And I surrender again at the cross. I surrender this to you at the cross. And I thank you for your great love that you say will never separate me from you. That nothing, height nor depth, nor anything will be able to. Girls, people are watching, and I've shared this with you before, and I don't mean to sound repetitive, but that's how we learn. They're looking for the reality of a life of faith lived out in us. And are you making it real? Is it real? Can people say, that woman right there, oh, there's something real different about her. I bet she's a Christian. Or, why is this girl always happy? Now, sadly enough, and I've shared this before too, in my years, I don't know if it's just the seriousness of times or whatever, but for me personally, I've struggled with joy. And it has been my earnest cry, Lord, I want your joy. I want it infused in every aspect of my being. I want, even in the tough times, to choose your joy. You say it's the fruit. It's the next one after love, and I love this little saying that says, you know, joy is peace dancing and peace is joy resting. So those kinds of, it's really special. So joy is peace dancing. That should denote our character, our characteristic of Christ. But it's been sad that I have seen so many non-Christians absolutely joyful, happy, and seen Christians sour and sad and burdened. And I know these people are having problems. Now, I'm sure they're probably looking at the Christian body going, okay, where's the answer? You know, and for those that walk with this little Eeyore type of personality, and I know that some of us, and I do not mean to be offensive or anything, but there are sometimes, girls, that we put more emphasis on the things that are happening than on the fact that God has allowed it to happen. This little tree is way up there in a very actual dangerous place, like I pointed out before. But what a view. What a view. Ladies, I pray that you would entrust the Lord with your life to see the view. Because, girls, each one of us could have times of testifying up here where the Lord has taken you someplace and you have had to go through such difficult things, but the view has been amazing. And I do not want you to miss that. His love is what compels us to those places that he can hide us. And last night I spoke with a precious sister that talked about hiding. He hides us in the cleft of the rock, and his glory passes before. That's glorious there. But what is happening here is glorious too. We have been encouraged to be still in his presence, to not miss that opportunity. I encourage you, our sweet precious ladies from Revelations have a wealth of knowledge of worship music. Our worship leaders and our worship teams have a wealth of knowledge of worship music. If you're not sure, ask them, that you would be able to stand in that presence. And I loved how Tammy put it. And it's not even so much to be still before him as it is to abide in that. Perfect. Perfect. And then we learned what it was to be still in God's promises. Ladies, when the enemy hits us between the, or he's going after us, what you need to do is to hit him with a scripture verse. For whatever situation that you are in, you be determined to find a verse that when the enemy comes, you stop it right there. Because what did the Lord do when Satan tempted him? He said, "It is written." You don't need to enter into dialogue. The enemy wants to always engage the conversation. You do not need to go there. All you have to say is, "It is written, by the authority of Jesus Christ, who is my Lord and Savior, and the blood spent for me on the cross. It is written, Satan. It is written, enemy." And you do, and you speak forth those truths. Girls, your index card of verses should be like a Rolodex, full. Because there's always a new and exciting thing that God is wanting to do. If you do not have a life verse, I encourage you to do that. And as the seasons of our lives change, there's always new ones that come about. I have three now, and I love my three, and I hold on to them when things are getting really tough. So I encourage you to do that. Those promises, girls, Scripture says that God counts his, he honors his word even above his name. And he is true to his word. What has he spoken to you today? So much of the fact that he is wanting your relationship with him to be the most important. Scripture also tells us in Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." What do you need today? Do you need more peace? Then seek God. Do you need more wisdom? Then seek God. Do you need more love for someone that's driving you nuts? Then seek God. Do you need to know how to be a better wife that would be submissive and not respond? Oh, Sandy, I could totally relate. It's like, oh. And not respond in the flesh, but to, or not to react in the flesh first, but to respond in the spirit, then you seek God. To be a better mommy that won't be so tired during bedtime to say, "Well, we'll just skip, we'll pray, but we won't do the Bible story right now." Wrong. You seek God to give you the energy and the strength to go and to do. Do you need to know, as there are things that are looming in your future that look foreboding on what you must do, and not to walk in fear, and not to walk in confusion, and not to walk in unbelief? Because the scripture also says the people of promise died like carcasses in the desert. Girls, I do not want any of you to do that. That is my greatest fear for us as women of God, that we would so neglect and abdicate that truth of what God has put in our hearts, and we fall like carcasses in the desert. The people of promise that never got to see. Girls, I pray that that is not what is befitting you. What you need, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And that is a promise. One of the 8,830, something like that. Yeah, that was pretty cool. I really love that. You could tell she's a teacher. I pray that you will look at those promises and you will hold them fast to your heart. And one of the promises that God made is that he would never leave us or forsake us. And that on that night that he took bread and he took the wine, he encouraged his boys to remember this. Because they were under the old covenant. Oh, God, thank you that we are not under the law anymore, but we are under grace. Grace. And today, his grace has been poured out upon you. And I am so grateful for that grace that comes at the foot of the cross. And girls, it is like, and the Lord showed me this picture, it is like going into the most refreshing pool and seeing a cascade of water coming down, but splashing about in it. And you hear the sounds of children. I love living close to a school, an elementary school, because you hear the sound of laughter in life. And that's what grace is for us. It's life that God wants to give. Now, isn't it interesting? It's not one of the fruits. I always found that remarkable and rather stunning, that it's not one of the fruits, because it's a direct impartation of God's character to you. That means, Lord, I need grace. And I've shared this with you. You probably heard me pray, Father, I need grace for today. I'm not asking for grace for tomorrow. I'm just needing grace for today, because you say that today has enough problems in its own. I don't need to worry about tomorrow. So just grace for today. And the Lord has promised to do that and to fulfill that. And so I pray, ladies, that you will wrap yourself up with the presence and the promise and the love of God in your life. And you will see amazing, mighty things happen as God uses you in this time, in this space, in the place that you are at, regardless of where it is. And you know, all the more better if we feel weak and incapable, because then we know that as we rely upon Him and lean upon Him, it's going to be all about Him. And we're going to be able to point ourselves or point our finger to the one who has made us so very able as people come to ask. I just am so grateful for his amazing, immense, immeasurable, expansive love that He has provided for us this day. And so I'm going to go ahead and ask our lovely songbirds to come up, and we're going to have some songs as we have our communion. And so what we are going to do, girls, is we're going to come up from the back tables. Sweet Debbie and I think some of her helpers are going to go to each table. And from the back, you're going to come forward here. And what you will do is you will take a piece of cracker and a cup, and then go back to your seat. And I want you to ponder and to think of the things that you have learned this weekend. And really, hours. It's only been like 7 hours or so that God has done some amazing things. We will never forget our very first time in doing this, but more than that, our time with Him. And so after I read the scripture and I will say, let us partake, then we can all do that together. And then we're going to have a time of sharing, okay? All right. So let's go ahead and bow for a word of prayer. Father, gracious Heavenly Father, precious Papa that loves and delights when your children climb up on your lap, Lord, we come to you and again confess that we are wretched sinners and we desperately need you in our lives. Father, that we would be poured out, that you would be poured in. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would rest on us and rest on each woman that is here. And Father, as we come again to this place, the surrendering of our lives at the foot of the cross, we thank you for what you have done. We bless you for your goodness and for your unfailing love towards us, that you demonstrated that nothing was going to separate us from you. And you so desired that you are the one that took and paid our penalty and our debt upon your life, upon your body on the cross. Father, I pray that as we sing and as we ponder and reflect, Lord, you would continue to do some very deep searching. Father, if we're walking in unbelief, that we would confess it. If we're walking in fear, that we would confess it. If we're walking in just willful defiance and disobedience because you have told us things and we are not obeying, Lord, you would forgive us. But God, I pray that you would deal with us before we take these elements of your sacrifice, the symbol of your sacrifice, so that when we do, Father, we would be cleansed and purified before your very eyes. Lord Jesus, bless this time as we spend it with you. Thank you for what you have done. Your love on the cross expressed to us. You not only said it, you showed it, Father. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.